Hi there. My name is Rory Clark, and I'm the pastor of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. I have a question for you. Why don't you give God another chance? That's the focus of these 10-minute lessons. You can give God another chance. And today's lesson is called Points to Ponder About God. And today there are seven things that I would like you to consider, things I'd like you to think carefully about in the matter of God. And the first is this: there is a God, and he is the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the earth, and the creator of all creatures. In other words, God exists. And Aristotle, who was one of the great minds of all time, called him the unmoved mover. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So the Bible comes out immediately and takes away all confusion and says, there is a God, and he created everything. So you might ask yourself then, who is this God that created everything? And you'd have to go to John chapter 1, verse 1 to find out. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," and the Word is a reference to the Lord, God the Son. "And the Word," the Lord, God the Son, "was with God the Father, and the Word," the Lord, God the Son, "was God." So there's God the Father and God the Son, and God the Son is God. That's awesome. In verse 3, John chapter 1, verse 3, "All things came into being through the Lord, and apart from the Lord, nothing has come into being that has come into being." So the Lord is the creator of all things. So consider this logic. The universe has a design, and design demands a designer, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the designer. Now, the atheist says there is no God, but the Bible calls the atheist a fool. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." For the atheist to prove his case that there is no God, the atheist would have to be omnipresent. The atheist would have to be capable of being everywhere at the same time. And of course, we know that creatures are not able to be everywhere at the same time. The agnostic says, "I don't think the truth about God is knowable." The agnostic's game is the uncertainty game. Well, I don't know. One of the most frustrating things that I've ever done is talk to an atheist, because it always came back in a gigantic circle. Well, gee, I don't know. I don't think anything can be known. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible describes the agnostic as conceited and understanding nothing and having a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. And I think that's a perfect description. This God that we're talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a person. And because God is a person, he's someone you can get to know. He is not mysterious. He is not distant. He is an up-close and personal God. So the question I have for you is, who is God to you? The second of the seven things I'd like you to consider is that God reveals himself in ways that make sense to human beings, providing his exact thoughts and instructions through the Bible. And here's the truth for me. If he didn't do that, I wouldn't want to worship him. What kind of God would he be if he hid from his creatures? Well, here's what the Bible has to say about itself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. "Who has known the mind of the Lord so well that he will be qualified to instruct him?" And of course, the answer is no one. But we, believers in Christ, have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is the Bible. What a fantastic description of the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about itself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All scripture is God-breathed, is inspired by God, directly from God. And all scripture is profitable." For what? "For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." That's what the Bible is good at. The Bible is as relevant today as it has always been. It does not change. It has not changed. It will not change. And it is not out of date, as the liars and the people who believe Satan are saying, "Oh, the book's been around for 2,000 years, so how can you really believe it because everything's changed?" Nothing has changed, and the Bible is one of those things that has not changed. The third of 7 points that I'd like you to consider is that God is organized. God is organized. He has a perfect plan for imperfect creatures, a plan for all mankind. The Bible makes it clear that God is still very much on duty. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 says this, "This man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man, in one person forever, was delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God the Father." It was God the Father's plan that he would give his son to die so that we could live. Now, everything that's happening around you, all the newspaper headlines, are happening by means of God's sovereign and permissive will, and nothing happens without his permission. And that does not mean that God is the sponsor of all things. He is not the sponsor of murder and torture and all the negative things that he gets accused of being the sponsor for. His enemy does most of that. Yet allowing these things to occur is part of his plan for mankind. And since God is both loving and fair, the fact that everything is occurring in this life within the context of his love and his fairness to all creatures should provide you with some great comfort. Whatever happens to you, God has the power to deliver you, and he wants to do it. And when I think about my friends in Nepal who have gone through this tremendous earthquake, I just want you to know that that happened, but that God will deliver you. He always comes through. The fourth of the 7 points I'd like you to consider is that God created you, and he has a personal plan for your life, and he provides everything you will need to live it. God is a very personal God, as it says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. You are not a number to God. You are not a statistic to God. You are not a concept to God. You are not a thing to God. There has never been a time in all of divine history when God didn't have you personally in mind by name. And there never will be a time in all of divine history when God doesn't have you personally in mind by name. The fifth of the 7 points that I'd like you to consider is the God who created you gives you the choice to believe in him or to reject him. You have free will. You can operate independently from God. God is accused by Satan, his enemy, of being both unloving and unfair. The most loving and fair thing that God did for his creatures is to give them free will, the ability to choose. And each of us has the power to choose for or against a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, for or against learning the truth of the Word of God. John chapter 3, verse 36 says this, "He who believes in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life," right at that moment. "But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see eternal life in heaven, but the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him." The sixth of the 7 points I'd like you to consider is that God has an enemy who wants to stop you from getting to know him. Now, God's enemy has many functional titles. He is the ruler of this world in John chapter 16, verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. He's called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "And you were spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the curriculum of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." He is called the devil in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was led up by God the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He is called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. "For the accuser of our brethren, the believers in Christ, has been thrown down from access to heaven, he, the accuser, who accuses them before our God the Father day and night." He is called the father of lies in John chapter 8, verse 44. Whenever Satan speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is called Satan in Job chapter 1, verse 6, and in many other verses. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Yes, God has an enemy. Yet a survey of 16 to 29-year-olds who are members of Christian churches in the United States, 52% of them do not believe that Satan exists. That's absolutely unbelievable, absolutely confounding. Do you think that Satan exists? Do you think that God has an enemy? Do you think that enemy is real? I do. The last of the 7 points I'd like you to consider is, because God created you and gave you the gift of human life, you owe God a hearing. I want to repeat that because it's so powerful. Because God created you and gave you the gift of human life, you owe God a hearing. You are part of God's life. Is God a part of your life? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 say this: "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, the God who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires all men to be saved, and who desires for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow about his promises of salvation. His promise of salvation is some count slowness, as some accuse him of. But he is patient toward all mankind, not wishing for anyone to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to a repentance, a change of mind about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ." Are you willing to learn about God and his word? John chapter 20, verse 30 says this: "Therefore, many other signs the Lord Jesus Christ also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book," the Bible. "But these that are written here have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name." How well do you know God? How well do you know his enemy? How well do you know his plan for mankind? How well do you know his personal plan for you? And how well do you know how he reveals himself? Have you made the most important choice in life? Acts 16:31. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Are you giving God another chance? Well, if you like these short lessons, visit our website at www.barahministries.com. That's www.barahministries.com. We have 2 different one-hour lessons per week to edify your spiritual life. We have a radio program as well. Please join us, and please keep on giving God another chance. I'm Pastor Rory Clark.